We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Thank you, Mark Grody and Joe Ostrowski, for handling the updates today. Ray Diaz always helping out with the show. Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp doing a great job producing the program. Speaks is back on Monday. I'm solo again tomorrow. Mike Florio, Sam Vecini, and Bob Kravitz were the guests on today's radio program. Tomorrow, we have Vinnie Goodwill will be in studio for the noon hour, and Zach Levine scheduled to call into the show as well. Bernstein and Goff are here. What's up, gentlemen?
What's happening?
Hanging out.
That Josh McDaniels story. I pulled up to Shoeless Joe's last night to do the Tito's appearance with Bobby.
How was Bobby? Was he fun?
He's all good. He brought Antonio Blakeney, and it was cool hanging out.
I picture Antonio Blakeney with a basketball in his hand, shooting it.
He's just a nice dude. He was very appreciative of the company, so it was cool to mess around with those two guys for an hour or so out there at Shoeless Joe's. But I look up at the television, I'm like, no, what is it? Maybe that's something's wrong with the graphic. That's never get offered a job by anyone else again material.
Like, yeah, well, maybe New England.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
you have to have a gig in tow if you do something like this. Lane Kiffin was able to do that because college is a cesspool that needs, you know, they don't care about ethics as long as you can, you know, call a few plays. Professional football is a little bit different because there are guys who are deemed good play callers that are on the rise every single year. And when you pull a move like this, when you show people, you know, after all the questions about maturity and all these other things, I mean, a super petty move on Bob Kraft's part. That's to kick this thing off. If you think that there's nothing there with the Flategate and the Indianapolis Colts, then you're kidding yourself.
A league source texted Schefter and said, that's Kraft putting it to the Colts again. He will forever try and bleep that place ever since the Flategate.
Okay, now
and
that's
the way Bill Polian talked about it this morning on television. He dropped his reporter, you know, journalist thing, and he started talking that Colts family business. And that they are. This is one of those things that's reverberating around the NFL because he is mud anywhere else now because of this situation.
Has anybody brought up I don't want this to sound like a conspiracy theory, but going off, the moment I read that, would the Patriots actually have it in them to have done this as a long form troll?
The long con?
The whole thing. Oh, yeah.
But you got go assistance after the coaches.
I know, but they don't care.
Josh McDaniels probably does care about some of those relationships.
Not based on what we're reading about him, man. Not based on, I mean, this. I'm just wondering if there's a possibility that the entire thing was conceived. The whole candidacy was a fraud. That the whole idea was to destabilize, you know, get inside there, learn about him, and just because they could.
He interviewed somewhere else. Giants? Is that where McDaniels also interviewed?
Here, right?
And here. So you know what? Like that part strikes me. Like they let him interview everywhere, but like just get hired at Indy and be the Trojan horse there. Like that.
A lot of things got to break.
I don't know. Yeah,
break the right way. Too,
I just wonder at the extent of what we could put on the Patriots for thinking, yeah, this will be fun, and then at the last second, it's like, nah,
yeah,
not.
Well, it's just not.
It's awful.
See, the reason I don't think it's that, because I don't think that they would have done that to the Bears, or at least not taken the same amount of enjoyment out of it. But it's those four other coaches.
That's what I'm saying.
He can't, and the people who are carrying his water today and talking about, like, Nate Burleson, for whatever reason, on NFL Network this morning.
He's terrible. Every level. Good Morning Football, whatever show he's on, he's a weirdo, he's terrible, I hate his analysis.
He's like, oh, it's so good to finally see a man of principle doing it for family and comfort over money and power.
Oh, my ass.
Are you kidding? Like, are you crazy? What about the families of the four other coaches who don't make nearly as much money as you do? Like, an offensive line coach left. What are you doing? McDaniels is a millionaire anyway.
Yeah, they pull their kids out of school.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're messing with people's livelihoods. And it's very simple. This is one of those things where you better have a Hall of Fame career as the Patriots' next head coach, because the moment things get bumpy and you get canned, this is a historic day for the rest of the NFL to be like, you know what? Screw this guy forever.
I think rules might change because of it, actually. I think they might allow you to sign a contract and continue to coach your team in the playoffs. Because instead of reaching an agreement in principle and then being able to walk back.
Yeah, but it never was a problem before, you know? It's never been an issue before for coaches to be like, you know what, I am going somewhere else.
You can't legislate out a jerkwad.
I will continue to do my job.
Right?
Exactly. Well, right, but I don't know that you need new rules for something that probably will never happen again. Let's keep it funky. This guy, everyone in Indianapolis thought they had their guy.
Yeah.
You agree to terms in principle, that means you've agreed to terms.
They called the media to Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, I don't think you need to redraw up what the NFL coaching guidelines should be.
Oh, I don't know, though. You don't think that, like, next year you're hesitant to hire a coach who's coaching all the way through the Super Bowl?
No, you should be hesitant to hire Josh McDaniels because he's a penis.
Forever.
That's the takeaway.
Forever.
I agree with that. I really do.
I don't give a damn how desperate my favorite team is in the NFL. I don't care. What are we talking here? We're talking the Dolphins maybe after Adam Gase and the Cardinals before they had made their hire. I don't give a damn how desperate my team is this next go-round. If Josh McDaniels' name is out there, how can you trust it?
You can't.
You can't trust it for the rest of his time coaching football.
I'm with
Period.
You. I agree with that.
I'm not just giving off on you, but it's like, it's ridiculous.
It is insane.
Like, we thought Dave McGinnis was a bleep show. And some of these other things that have, I mean, you know, Belichick coaching the Jets twice in 6 days.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I still think that one's crazier because he got to New York in front of the podium with the Jets helmet there.
Talked about it
and was the coach. And then there was draft pick compensation. The reason I think there could be something that comes from this, even if it is overregulation and too many rules and all of that, is it's not punishable. Like, what if Dan's right? Like, what if he's right?
And that's a crazy hypothesis.
They should be able to be punished for it, though, right? Like,
how so?
I don't know.
I mean, it's one of those things where you hate it if it happens to you.
Yeah.
Kind of loopholes. You know? It sucks.
Loopholes like
if you get told one of those stories, you're like, oh, man, that sucks, dude. And then you get home, you get to Rich Lay, like, yo, you have to hear this. Thank God it didn't happen to us. That's one of those.
Right.
And it happened to the Colts.
But I get what you're saying. That if my hypothesis, my wacko hypothesis, and that's what it is, if that's correct, that they set out to perpetrate this on the Colts.
But that means they knew they weren't going to like, you know, the Tobe and some of these other guys. Like
Nagy they interviewed.
Yeah. A lot has to happen.
But there's no downside. If they just say, no, you're not a finalist or you don't get the job, he just goes back to work.
Go get intel on the other teams around the league and then come back for
us. Right. And best case scenario, oh, look, they're going to hire you. This is going to be awesome. So just wait. Wait till they send out the tweet and then call them.
It seems to me like there should be some sort of punishment to the Patriots.
If that were to be true, and I don't necessarily think it is, I just want to put it on the record that I wouldn't necessarily put it past them to conceive of something like that, then you're right. Then there needs to be, on a league level, a recourse for that kind of action that's antithetical to the idea of a well-functioning league.
Right, and you saw the agent fired him.
Like, I did not see that.
Yeah. The agent fired him because he represents Ballard and McDaniels, and he was kind of orchestrating the whole thing, and he's like, I can't do this. Can't rep both of them anymore.
That's right. I'm not going to be able to do good business with anybody else going forward.
He represents everybody.
Right, because that's his word, too. If he's the guy making the phone calls.
You're going to question me going forward. Are you sure this guy wants this job?
Right. We know what happens with your clients.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with that. I'm fine. Thank you. And you're not getting head coach money? All right, beat it.
No question.
I don't get a cut of the ring. I get a cut of whatever you sign for.
Yeah. I mean, people work around the Rooney Rule all the time, so this is not a shock here, but if he does have an agreement to be the next head coach of the Patriots, that could be a league violation too.
Yeah, the be glad we asked rule.
Like the token
interview. Be happy that we gave your dumbass a try rule, because that's what it's pretty much become now. where you got guys who are going out there and doing these token interviews and being, you know, shamed across the country. All right, fly here, fly there. Oh, it's good for your resume. It'll build you up. And some guys are like, no, it really won't.
Well, who would interview for New England? Like, who would they be able to get to do it? Say Belichick retires in 2 years, McDaniels gets an interview,
Brian
and then
Flores, right there in house.
Just do it in house.
Might as well.
And then give him a promotion to coordinator or something like that.
I mean, he's
associate head coach.
He's DC now, exactly.
Yeah,
because Patricia's going to Detroit now. He's going to be the defensive coordinator. He's supposed to be the next star on the rise. It's
ugly.
It's seedy.
Yeah,
it's weird, that whole thing. And I saw,
at least they lost.
I saw.
Yeah, exactly. Were wondering why people root against them.
Yeah. No, not I wasn't. I wasn't wondering. I wasn't wondering why. I didn't really know the depth and breadth of animus.
It's weird, man. And I saw a couple of clips from that documentary. Like when he's getting the rub down and he makes his kid come over and kiss him for like a long 9 seconds and his kid walks away and wipes his mouth. And I'm like, what's going on here?
It is
like,
cringeworthy.
What is going on here?
Yeah, but Brady is just in general, he's creepy. He's something's off with him.
I now know too much about him. Off that documentary.
You watched the whole thing?
No. Just like the write-ups of it, the TB12 stuff, the exercise regimen, how he treats his kids, his politics. I know too much.
Speaking of knowing too much, Quincy Jones.
I heard about this.
Is this GQ interview?
I haven't apparently been able to read it.
Old man scorned, and he is going off.
Like, how old is Quincy Jones at this
88,
point?
88, somewhere around there.
Okay.
And the problem is he's outlived all the people that he's talking about.
Is
so
this
no,
like Jordan's Hall of Fame speech?
Dan, there is an excerpt about Marlon Brando and Quincy kicking it all the time. And Marlon, he loves the cha-cha dance. And, you know, Marlon would, anything. A mailbox, Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye. He just starts
Yes!
And all of Black Twitter is like, no! It's so, like, the whole, all of music is burning right now because Quincy Jones is like, hey, pull up a chair. I got some stories for you, Sylvia. He's trashing the Beatles. Like, he's going
Wait, Marlon Brando was doing Marvin Gaye and
Richard Pryor apparently, and James Baldwin, the activist who everybody knew was gay.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm sitting there reading it like, I need to get this to my mom. Like, quick, to the elders.
What is your man doing?
Right.
Run and inform the elders.
Yeah, I'm like, Quincy, what happened? Does Quincy know he's going to die next week or something?
Is it possible he's doing a bit?
No, because they ask him about Cosby, and he's like, that's one thing I won't talk about. I'm like, wait a minute. You just outed Richard Pryor and Marvin Gaye. By the way, Al Green, Al Green's somewhere like, yeah, man, thank you, Quincy. But and he called, I think he called Michael Jackson a greedy bastard when it came to money and music. Like, it was.
Wow.
I can't wait to read the entire thing, but it seems so salacious. And I'm like, Quincy, why now? Like, you don't.
He's about to die. He's 88 years old.
Think about it. Like, who's seen more in the history of music probably than Quincy Jones? The connections and the tentacles that man's, career.
Right, somebody like Jimmy Iovine, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if Quincy introduced Jimmy Iovine to everybody. I mean, like, right. That's who Quincy Jones is and has been. Not just the Motown stuff, but, I mean, rock and roll, like, all the different webs that he spun. And he just decided to sit down with GQ and write his own Tupac Hit 'Em Up verse. So I cannot wait
and
to
write
read
a book. Profit off of it.
Something.
Yeah. I think Quincy's okay.
Well, fine, but I'm saying.
He talks about he has 22 girlfriends. He's got, like, a girlfriend in every country, and before he gets there, he hits her up. He goes, Brazil. Oh, Brazil's got some really nice ones. I got a couple of girls. And, like, I'm sitting there like, Quincy, what are you doing?
Wow.
What are you doing? But, like you said, when you're 88 and the music mogul, I'm like, hey, Quince, there's a little thing going on right now. There's a little movement in entertainment. You might want to calm your ass down. Like, they can still lock your old ass up. They tried with your boy Bill. Like, they can still
come
for you.
They're coming for Quentin Tarantino right now,
yeah,
too.
I read that interview. Just
you can't. Well, I mean, if there's anyone that you can guess got down like that, wouldn't he be one of the top five?
I'm going to have a
I hate to say it like that.
To paint with a brush like that.
Yeah, I hate.
Tough to reconcile some of the. We all have to. That's like probably my favorite director, and I think he might be a cretin.
You probably thought that before.
I probably didn't.
The stuff of like the limits he was willing to push in his mind, like to get the shot or do it for the art.
The stuff with Uma Thurman and
the choking stuff.
You're going to crash your spitting. Car and I'm going to spit on you because it's going to get the truth of the reaction. And
Isn't it
Lars von Trier did that with, was it Bjork? I mean, because there's stories of these draconian directors who are like, you know, Bobby Knight style coaches.
Pushing the boundaries. J.K. Simmons.
Whiplash. Yeah. Saying that they have to push the artist to create the great art. But that only goes so far for human behavior. It really only does. In coaching or anything else.
It should.
Trying to get that tear out of somebody or trying to get them in a moment where they seem like they're afraid. And then you're supposed to be like, hey.
Right. You've captured their essence. You've found the truth.
You know? Neil Brennan, I heard him on a podcast not too long ago. And he said that I'd rather work with B actors that I want to be around for 7 months than try to squeeze everything out of A-list actors who are the worst people in the world and you don't want to be around them after the scene is over. He said, and you could tell in movies.
Back to what we said about John Mahoney yesterday.
That's exactly
the point of just somebody who never tried to upstage the material, always, sometimes to a fault, would be true to the actual material, true to the scene.
Let the story tell the story.
Rather than trying to mug for the camera or impose his personality on things. And everybody who worked with him just adored him. You know, you never had to. You know, I know a director who worked with him several times who just said the guy was, no matter what kind of character he was playing, they always knew that his job was to get the most out of the material and get the most out of what the director wanted in the scene.
The actor's actor.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yep. Yeah.
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 In a lot of ways. But yeah, the Tarantino stuff. I got to read the Quincy Jones thing.
Yeah, I'm excited to read it.
I just subscribed to GQ like a couple of months ago. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this because I heard it was coming out, but I just heard it was about Quincy talking about Quincy. And now that I find that he's got the flamethrower out for everyone, like dead people. I mean, he called the Beatles the worst musicians ever.
Yes. Wait.
This take is on fire.
Yes. The worst musicians
worse than your guy, Jack White.
Oh, don't start me. Don't. I already, I'm dealing
yeah,
with
it. I dealt with it yesterday with some Jack White song we played
not,
for
no,
him.
Just don't. It's
Kindred
just,
of Love.
Really?
Whatever.
No, connected by Love. By don't love. Listen
I
mean, to it.
I won't.
Don't
worry about it.
You don't have to worry about
don't
it.
Don't
listen to it.
Okay.
Like some of the XRT people are mad at me.
Really? I had fun at a Jack White show a few years ago.
That's fine. I generally have enjoyed his work.
Yeah.
This is
it's bad.
It isn't only the worst. It's one of the worst sounds you've ever heard. It's not like just some of the worst.
Dumb and Dumber. Want to hear the most annoying sound of the world?
It's not even. No, it's the end of the world. It will sap your will to live.
Wow.
It will make you unhappy that you are alive.
Yeah.
Right. I will go out of my way not to listen to a song that will make me want to kill myself.
Yeah. Just. I mean. But you won't even be motivated to do that. Like you're not even.
You just think about it.
Right. No. It's just that you
it'll
can't.
Zap your,
no.
Your will to kill yourself.
Yeah. It's all of it. Like you wouldn't even be able to muster up the energy to think about doing that because it ruins your humanity and you stare into the abyss.
Oh, wow. I didn't think there would be a hotter music take than the Beatles were the worst musicians of the world.
You found one today.
Here's Dan Burstein.
Exactly.
I was just told Joe Girardi has been added to your show today, 3:00. That's pretty cool.
There it is.
Cool.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, ask him
MLB.
About Northwestern basketball.
Hey, I watched the whole game last night.
Good for you.
And you know what? They're still no good.
Yeah, because college basketball sucks.
Yeah, and they're...
I was trying to figure out why I haven't gotten into the season.
They're
because
offense.
It's nestled back into college basketball being a horrid, horrid product.
Oh, I'm so thrilled that I get to, like... My college basketball viewing experience now isn't like
it's
mandated for work.
Of Kansas City, exactly.
Yeah, I have KU, K State, Missouri. Yeah. Yeah, so watching all this terrible basketball.
It's terrible, brother.
So bad.
But now it's like, oh, that guy might be drafted by the Bulls. I'll watch. Yeah, oh, that's a top 10 matchup.
You pick
I'll
out
watch.
What you want to watch.
Oh, Cuse is beating Louisville in the second half. I'll watch. Like it's much more enjoyable this way.
I mean, I wanted Michigan when they can hit a shot can be entertaining. But if you can't beat them on a night like that, And when they cut it down to, like, four, I want to say, with, like, three minutes
Wagner
left.
Was very unhappy with his team's output last night.
And I'm thinking, I thought if Northwestern loses this one, then I don't want to hear any pretense about – and do you hear Chris after the game snarky about people writing off his team and about how
– Your own point guard did it, dude. Relax
yourself.
Your point guard said that your team was fat and lazy and stupid. Yeah. So get on McIntosh first.
It was on the cover of the Sun-Times.
Mr. Windex.
Yeah. And Chris is like, well, I heard that the sky was falling. Apparently out there, this year's a disaster. I'd like to look at other years at Northwestern where we've been 500 in the conference. Like, oh, really? Now it's about being 500?
Well, they didn't pay you for those other years, home skillet. They paid your ass to be in the tournament every year. I mean, let's not do this early. Like, we're still in the beginning stages of not caring about the relationship. Let's back off of talking tough about Northwestern buckets. Let's move into the new building first. Let's get it where it's supposed to be. What are you doing here, Chris? Come on, you're better than that.
Yeah, what do you guys got today?
We are going to have our straight through 2 o'clock hour. I've got a question that I need to ask you. Because obviously the Colts story is big. We're going to talk about that, and also what it means for sort of where the Bears are in the NFL hierarchy right now. It's kind of an odd place to be when you consider you've got some trust in what appears to be a solid foundation for the Bears. There was an online Twitter exchange that Joe Sheehan was mixing it up with some people, and including Bill James of all people, in a conversation about owners versus players and this the rhetoric that's everywhere. Brody Van Wagenen and Tony Clark and Scott Boras and this MLB exec that I'd never heard of says, well, if Boras cared as much about trying to get his clients signed as he does making inflammatory statements, maybe he wouldn't. So that was that surprised me. That seemed a little petty. But why we care about this particular skirmish as a fan? Why do you have to care between mega agents and unsigned veteran free agents and owners as they're drawing sides trying to fight this rhetorical battle for hearts and minds and messaging? What are you fighting for?
I think Jesse Spector outlined it pretty damn well against Bill James today on a terrific Twitter conversation that they had that I bookmarked that I wanted to bring to your attention as well.
Yeah, I want to start doing it at 2 o'clock because I think we're at a point now where we're talking across each other in a lot of ways, and I think the average fan of a team is siloed in a way where so what you've bargained what you've bargained, and you're gonna the money's gonna be what it is. When is my team gonna win the World Series?
Yeah, I was gonna say, right? I'll get out of here, but the reason I care is because the Cubs haven't signed Yu Darvish yet.
Okay.
You know, like that's the reason for me.
Of course, but if you know the Cubs are keeping their powder dry, thinking they could still sign Yu Darvish, or we'll have a better opportunity to spend money more wisely or make a trade toward the deadline, it's that trust level where you trust the Cubs are doing what they can do to win the World Series,
correct,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that's what it comes down to. And interestingly, White Sox fans are doing the same thing. As much as Boras is talking about, oh, this is bad for baseball, and Joe Sheehan saying all teams should be competing. Well, no. The White Sox told you exactly what they're doing, and there's a trust level right now, an excitement level.
That'll be a good conversation, and Joe Girardi can join it when he joins you at 3. They're Bernstein and Goff on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.